When I was growing up, there was an operative phrase that I remember hearing from my father that was father-son talk. And it was son just learned to grin and bear it. And I think what that was supposed to be telling me was that, you know, men are tough and you aren't always just, you know, if you're a true man, you don't just always show what you're feeling. You learn to be tough, to smile and go on. No matter what life hits you with, you're a soldier, right? And a soldier is able to keep marching forward even when there's casualties all around and you feel like running the other direction. I mean, you just grin and bear it. Well, there is a slight shift going on in our culture in the last 10, 20, 30 years when it comes to emotions. And particularly to those of us of the male gender and an ability to be, first of all, even in touch with what we're feeling, and secondly, to express what we're feeling. And that shift has gotten to the point now where, at least in professional sports, they have to limit the time of celebration for the athletes after the touchdown and have all kinds of rules and restrictions about how much carrying on we're going to do, because men have discovered that they can be just as emotional and celebrative as anybody else. And that same phenomena is happening in worship. There is an openness, an expressiveness, a connection with the heart in worship, an openness about admitting that connection now that there didn't used to be. And I don't mean to say that we have less of a respect for the mind, you know, that now it's don't think, just feel. No, what we really want to do is to worship God with the whole being, amen? Everything. We, in this fellowship, teach the Word, the Bible. We use page numbers, and each Sabbath I come, by the grace of God, prepared. I don't just wing it, you know, that phrase. To do something that will talk to you intellectually, and I pray will help you think and grapple with some kind of an issue that connects with life where you're living it, with you and the Lord. But also I'm praying that your heart will be involved as well, and that your emotions will be connected by the Holy Spirit. And immediately, I know some people are afraid of emotionalism, but again, I say to you, we are miles away from that problem, that extreme. If you think this is emotionalism, my friends, you got another thing coming. Most of us on that spectrum of 0 to 10 are still down here at a 1 or a 2. And you can start worrying about that. Maybe we get up to a 9, but we're not even close. We're not even close. We sing. We clap. We stand. And sing. Where's Kay? I just saw Kay a minute ago. Kay reminds me of the fact that one Sabbath, and we need to do this again, at our church in Encinitas, Kay got up and showed us a liturgical dance using our feet to move and to praise and worship God. Remember that? Kate, I bet you remember that, right? Okay. Would you do that again? No? Oh, my goodness. Oh, well. We do different things. Our goal is to worship God, not just with our minds, but with the whole person. Now, having said all of that, from my background, that is not easy. I struggle with this, and I will admit that by nature, I'm probably more like this guy who comes to church and he says during the stand and greet time, I never know what to say during the stand and greet your neighbor time, so I had something typed up. I don't know, but there's a part of me that can really identify with that because I'm Mr. Prepare. I don't like the spontaneous business where you just say the first thing that comes to your head. And I think there's two reasons why I don't like that. Number one, I've observed a lot of that through the years and been bored out of my gourd when preachers were doing that. And then secondly, I guess I'm afraid what might come out. I don't know. I want to be a little more prepared than that. And so I identify with that one. Or perhaps you can identify with this one. Instead of all that raucous hand-raising, we will invite you today to fill out an unspoken prayer request form 1046-A. And there's something inside of many of us that feels more comfortable maybe with that sanitized, safe version that is identified in these cartoons. But by the grace of God, even though it's pushing our boundaries, and it has been mine for a number of years, we're attempting to make some changes and to worship God with the whole being instead of just part of that being. And one of the churches that is modeling this the most for us is a church in Van Nuys, California, entitled, called the Church on the Way. Are any of you aware of Church on the Way in Van Nuys, California? Pastor Jack Hayford, and to me, he has done some tremendous things to help people worship with the whole being. And what I want to do is to share with you four things today that he encourages, and if you want to take a pencil and pen out and make some notes, this would be appropriate, four things that he encourages people to do in order to reach this objective, and that is to worship with the whole person. Psalm 9, page 5, I believe, that's an 8, I can't read my own handwriting, 583 or 593, the ninth chapter of the book of Psalms. Yeah, 583. Beginning with the first verse. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Not just with my mind. I will praise you with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Okay. Like what? I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. The first thing that Pastor Hayford encourages his congregation to do, if they're going to worship God with the whole being, is to personalize your praise. Personalize your praise. Now, at this particular point in this psalm, David is still very safe and very general. It reminds me of the person who gets up in the prayer circle, you know, when we're trying to be open with each other and vulnerable and share what's really on our heart and says, I want you to pray for my uncle's wife's cousin's brother who has this problem. And I think, whoa, you're really being risky today. I mean, way to open your heart, you know, your uncle's wife's cousin's brother. Okay. I think I'll try to follow you through all that maze. And that's a little bit where we stay a lot with the Lord. And the first thing that he challenges people to do is personalize your praise. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, Most High. He gets a little more specific in verse number three. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. And then if you go on to chapter number 16, verse number 7, more specific still. Chapter 16, verse number 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Now there's praising God for something very specific. You need counsel. I praise God for Ed's counseling ministry, and that is all based upon the assumption that we have another counselor, a comforter who is operating. And who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. I praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. Even at night, my heart does what? Even at night, my heart instructs me. Have you experienced that counseling of the Holy Spirit in your life? Even perhaps this week, as you went to bed troubled over a particular problem, and even at night, you were instructed through the counseling ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you woke up the next morning, you said, personalize your praise. Now, I want to get very specific and show you exactly what I mean by this, give you a little illustration. Would you each take your hand, a right hand, let's be specific, and put that right in front of your face. You can see it just like this, okay? Everybody got a right hand? If you don't, you can use your left, okay? Otherwise, right hand in front of your face. Now, I want you just, with nothing but your mind, to move that finger, the one next to your thumb. Move it up and down. Can you do that without moving anything else? Without moving anything else. Now, hold everything else firm. I don't know about you, but I have a little sympathetic movement here in this next finger. Do you encounter that? I don't know what's going on. Okay, now don't move that one. Just with your nothing but your mind. Let's move little finger. Can you move your little finger? I still get a little sympathetic reaction from the next one too. Okay. Now, first of all, here's my initial point, and that is, do you know that nobody, but nobody on planet Earth can totally explain how you can think and that finger can move like that, just in response to your thought decision? You know, that is an incredible miracle of God's creation. Do you know how incredible this creation is, our bodies? I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Where's our occupational therapist? I think I saw her a minute ago. Lana. Where's Lana? Okay. She does a whole study on this. I mean, this is what her career is built around, is all this kind of stuff and helping people, right? And it is just absolutely incredible when you think of God's creation. God's creation. Okay. But my point is to praise God for His creation. Still can kind of fly right over us. Or to praise God for His salvation. Or we praise God for the cross and for what He did on Calvary. And I tell you, that is wonderful. It's incredible. But you know what happens? It just flies right past us many times. It's too theoretical. It's too huge. It's too grand. It's too big for my brain. Now, what I want to have you do with me right now, again with these same fingers, is I want you to personalize your praise. And here's just a simple little way to do that. Let these four fingers represent four things that you want to praise God about. Okay? And just take them and let's go. This is just silently in your mind. Don't say anything out loud or what. Please don't talk out loud. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Okay. Just kind of think it through. Okay. Address this to the Lord just in your thoughts. Lord, I want to praise you for, and then as you think of one person or thing that you want to praise the Lord for, you might even want to touch that finger just to personalize your praise. Lord, I thank you for. Yeah. Yeah. Have you got it? Okay. That's step number one. Don't lose that. I'm going to build from here. Worship for the whole person. Four things to do to accomplish that goal. First of all, personalize your praise. Don't be content with just these generalities that are meaningless that just go pew, pew, pew. Okay? Number two, verbalize your thoughts. Verbalize your thoughts. To think and praise God silently is one thing. To express it is another thing entirely. It is the difference between knowing that you love your wife and telling her, Gary, telling her that you love her. Verbalize your thoughts. Now, when it comes to the Lord, I don't know, but saying it out loud sometimes is hard for me. You know, just the simple phrase, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Can you do that? Can you say that out loud with me right now? Jesus, I love you. Does that feel awkward, strange? If you can and are willing to, I'd like to have you hear your own voice. Let's try it one more time. Jesus, I love you. Yeah. I want to honor you, Lord. This is your special day. I'm here to honor you on your special day. Did you know that one of the reasons we sing the songs with the words on the screen is to use the crutch of the songwriters to say, Jesus, I love you, with different ways, different words, because without the music going and whatever, I feel naked, very awkward, very, very strange. And so it helps to verbalize my thoughts. And so when the music is playing and the words are on the screen or they're in our hymn books at first service, if this is saying what you want to say to the Lord, then enter in and participate. If it isn't, sit there silently. You know? Absolutely. Jesus, I love you. Now, again, back to the four fingers. I'd like to invite you to take the second step, if you're willing. And that is verbalize your thoughts in quick. We can't take long at this. 30 seconds probably each at the most. Turn to somebody beside you, behind you, in front of you, and go through those four praises for God, okay, to God. Four things that you're thankful for. Hold up one finger, then the next, then the next, then the next. And then the other person take a turn. But we need to do this in the next 60 seconds total, okay? I'll tell you when 30 seconds is up so you go to the next person, okay? Everybody, you two, you two, you two, you two. Here, I'll do it with you.
God for letting me to come to the United States to study. Thank you for having a great auntie for me to stay with. Thank you, God, for giving me my parents, my sister, they have care for me. Mm-hmm. And thank you, God, for making me to be a Christian so that I can know the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Lyndon. Thank you for Cheri Lynn. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for my tennis club where I can get exercise right now. I meet a lot of new people.
Time's up. Personalize your praise. Verbalize your thoughts. Number three, mobilize your body. Whoa. Okay. Mobilize your body. It's the final game, NBA championship. Houston Rockets. Yay, Texas. Okay, excuse me. Okay. I don't know. I got in on the last 4.6 seconds of the game. This is not a joke. This is the truth. I got in the last 4.6 seconds of the game. I had just finished playing tennis, and I walked into the club, and there on the screen, you know, everybody was just going crazy. It was the last 4.6 seconds, so I saw the last 4.6 seconds of the game. Okay, what I'd like for you to imagine is the game is just over. Houston has won. First time, I guess, that the city of Houston has this major championship or whatever, and now everybody is just really excited, and they're absolutely holding totally still. Isn't this wonderful? We won the championship. Yay, yay, yay. Don't move. Of course. That's really congruent, isn't it? That'd be a little strange. Saying I love you to your wife is better than just thinking it. But there is another step here. She would probably appreciate a hug and a kiss too, right? Yeah. Mobilize your body, right? The next step in worship is to mobilize your body. Mobilize your body. You know, Lord, I love you. I love you. You're so wonderful. You've done wonderful things. I'm celebrating you today. Oh, really? You look so happy. Yeah, yeah. Now, how do we mobilize our bodies in worship? Well, the liturgical church, of which we are, as Adventists, traditionally, very historically a part, mobilized our bodies very little. One of the things that we did to mobilize our bodies was to kneel. And my goodness, since I didn't scrub floors, that was about the only time or get down on my knees and bake somebody. That was about the only time, you know, that I ever knelt as a kid was in the church. And so I knew that whenever I was in that posture, terribly uncomfortable too. I mean, anybody here think that kneeling is real comfortable? I mean, it is not that comfortable. But it is a mobilization of the body to do something out of the ordinary to show great honor and respect to the mighty God of heaven, right? Another thing that traditionally liturgical church has done in order to mobilize the body and to worship God is the sign of the cross. I don't even know if I'm doing that right. Somebody grew up as a good Catholic. How do you make the sign of the cross? Up, down, and then into the left. And I'm sure it's very specific, right? I mean, you just don't do it like this. I mean, it's okay. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not making fun of that at all, because there is another thing that traditionally the church has done for centuries. And what's the symbolism there? Well, I mean, we're attempting to mobilize the body and to connect with the greatest event of Christian history, and that is what Jesus has done on the cross. And I don't know as we're ready to start doing that at North Coast Christian Fellowship a lot. There certainly wouldn't be anything wrong with it. Is there anything wrong with making the sign of the cross? No. I mean, Absolutely not. Our only dilemma would be that for many of us, it connects, it has a connotation to something that we can't connect with comfortably, and that is Catholicism and the abuses that the church has been a part of down through the centuries. But as far as a simple act of making the sign of the cross, it's a beautiful representation of mobilizing the body to communicate, to make contact with an essential part of the Christian faith. Now, at this particular fellowship, what are some things that we do to try to mobilize the body to worship the Lord with the whole person? What do we do? Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Where's Bert? This is especially for Bert.
Right here.
Okay, Bert. This cartoon. Come up, Bert. Come up close enough where you can see this, because I've got this one just for you.
You don't want me to come that close.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to describe this cartoon for you, Bert, because when I saw this, I said, this is for Bert. Okay, here we are. It's a lady pastor or elder standing at the lectern of the church. She's turning and looking at this guy. It looks like Doug Odom to me. You know, this old-time gospel singer. Any of you familiar with Doug Odom? Okay. And she is telling him, what is she telling him? Don't ask the congregation to clap along. They're rhythm impaired. My goodness, I still have a terrible time clapping at the right time on some of these songs. But I'm learning. Bert's teaching us. I think there's hope. So, what are some of the things that we do to mobilize the body? Yeah, we clap. Finally. I mean, there was a time when you weren't supposed to even clap in church, right? I mean, we stand. We sit. We stand. Raise our hands. We circle in prayer. We join hands in a circle of prayer. And by the way, on raising the hands, you know, there's many different ways to do that. When you raise your hand like this, what is that basically saying? Yeah, I got a question, or I want your attention. I want to speak, or I want to be noticed. I want to be recognized. And in worship, that could be very appropriate and proper. Lord, please, do you still remember I exist? You know, I'm here and I want you to notice me. Please don't just overlook the fact that I'm here, Lord. And I sure need to make connection with you today. Now, turning the palm the other way, what does that mean? What do you do when you turn your hand this way? What are you doing? Yeah. You're getting ready to take something from somebody, you know? Okay, I'll hand you this book. You're going to reach out. You're going to get it, okay? Or you might say, okay, if it's really something big, I mean, if you're going to hand me a 100-pound sack of flour, I'm not just going to go like this. I'm going to say, okay, let's go. I'm ready. And so, again, in worship, what are we doing? When we raise hands like this, we're saying, Lord, I'm waiting to receive from you, from your Holy Spirit. Do as you have promised. All kinds of things that we can do to be more expressive in worship, to mobilize the body. That's my point. Mobilize the body. Worship for the whole person. Quickly, the fourth. What are the first three? Let me just test you, class. What are the first three? See, this is teaching. This is not worship per se. Do you know that worship is over in a sense? When we start the study of the Word, our worship part of our service is really over. We're more into the teaching time, okay? First three were what? And the fourth one, I'm sorry, it's not an eyes. Love one another. I know that feels like a letdown. I'd like to make that an eyes, but it just didn't work. Okay. Fourth thing that you can do to have worship for the whole person is to realize that when you come here, you're not coming to worship as a single private person isolated and cut off from everybody else. We're not here as individuals. We are here to praise God as a community. That's what corporate worship is all about. And it really doesn't start to happen until you recognize other people that are here and reach out. It may be just to hand them a book. It may be hand them the Bible. It may be to just smile, recognize. I saw Noni at the back. Haven't seen Noni for quite a while. Don't see her usually until after tax time is finished because she says she's so busy she just lives at her shop. Okay, I don't know if she realized it, but I saw her. I connected, tried to recognize her early on in the service. Other people, do you do that? Reach out because we come here not just alone, but to worship God together as people. And so we're kind of in a tension, two sides. In one side, during the worship time, I just want to forget everybody else and focus upon the Lord. And yet, in another sense, we're not here just as individuals worshiping God. We're also connecting with other people. So we need to try to do both somehow. At some point, to reach out and connect, and then also to focus and to really lock on the Lord. And so we reach out to each other, loving one another. That's what the circle of prayer is all about. That's what the circle of prayer is all about. Now, Jack Hayford, in his service, and some of you know what's coming if you've been at his church, traditionally has made it a practice, even with a congregation of a couple thousand people, in order to accomplish this objective, to have what he calls ministry time, where he asks people to just break up into little groups of no more than four, five, or six people, like with the three of you turning around and facing the three of you, and the three of you turn around and facing the three of you, so the little circles make. The two of you turn around facing the two of you. Alice coming up and joining the three there. You two turning around here. You two, you know, you get the idea. To do some very specific things. First of all, to tell your name, who you are, where you're from. But then beyond that, to share a specific concern or celebration that you have that other people can pray about. And then for somebody in the group to pray out loud. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like it. I would rather just come into church and have some preacher get up and just blaze and move me emotionally and intellectually, tell me something new or tell me something old in an interesting fashion or whatever and connect me with the Lord, and I really don't want to talk to anybody else, and then I just want to walk out. Okay. But you know, that is not corporate worship. That is not corporate worship. The initial discomfort that I feel and that perhaps you feel from connecting with other people, I believe if we persevere through that, deep down inside, there is a goal that is worth the effort, because deep down inside, we all yearn to be heard and to be loved and to love. And we can't do that without creating Christian community. Now, for a time, I was almost at the point of even at a church this small, just saying, this isn't going to happen in here. It's just going to happen in the classes. But folks, I'm not sure that that's not just a little cop-out. If Hayford, at Church on the Way, with 2,000 people sitting there, can foster that kind of interaction in the service in the sanctuary, why can't we do it here? You may say, well, this just makes me totally too uncomfortable. Well, it's okay in your circle to say, you know, this is also new to me. I'm going to participate by just watching. Okay. That's okay. It's okay. But still participate at least at that level and allow the other people to maybe at least know your name and to reach out and love you in the spirit and watch. But I'd like to, in the next 4 to 5 minutes, do exactly what I just said and have you get in little ministry groups and to go around the circle, share a name, where you're from, a little prayer burden or concern or a celebration, and then for somebody in the group to pray. That's all I ask. Next 4 or 5 minutes. Would you do it? Just be brave. Worship with the whole person. Okay, little groups.
To persevere through some things that are uncomfortable, whatever it takes, in order to worship God with the whole being. The first reason is it challenges our culture, and our culture needs to be challenged on this point. And here's what I mean by that. As products of the Renaissance, we are into intellect,
Adventists are really set up for this. I mean, we are into education. We are into higher education. My goodness, we are into degrees and college and postgraduate and doctorates and all the rest. And it's very easy for us, with our emphasis upon the mind, to leave the heart behind somewhere, some other place. And to forget that Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your... Yeah. So there we have a command of Jesus that I believe is saying, hey, look, I want all of you. You know, if we're going to be married, let's do this right. I want all of you. So, reason number one, it challenges our culture that places such an overt emphasis upon just figuring everything out and being in our heads, okay? So expressive worship challenges our culture. Number two, expressive worship does something to nurture humility. Often our emotional reserve is just a fearful attempt to retain control. Boy, I hate it when things are out of control, don't you? I like everything predictable. I want it well organized, and you know, I get very nervous if I don't know what's happening. You know, oh my goodness, what is that? Well, that's just pride and self and wanting everything managed. Yeah. I mean, if the Holy Spirit ever just absolutely took over and we let this thing go, I don't know what would. I think all of us would have a nervous breakdown. You know, we wouldn't be able to handle that. I mean, you know, this is too much like the New Testament church. Yeah. We can't really handle this. Expressive worship cultivates a willingness to be taught by and to submit to the Holy Spirit. This is on point number two, nurturing humility. We need to release our pride and just be flexible in the Spirit. Expressive worship prevents spiritual arthritis, or even worse, rigor mortis in the body of Christ. Expressive worship. This is all under the point of nurturing humility. You know, I feel like a little kid in worship when I raise my hand. It is a humbling feeling. And you know what? We need that. I need that. You need that. Experience of coming to the Lord just like a little child and saying, Lord, I need you. Notice me. I'm here. Reason number three. It creates a climate of warmth and acceptance, a place where evangelism can flourish. If we're serious about our mission is to turn non-Christian people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We're serious about that mission, and we want our church to be a place where that mission can be accomplished. I tell you, it can happen a lot more if we're into expressive worship than we're into just a cold intellectual head trip. Number four. It encourages commitment. It encourages commitment. Expressive worship encourages commitment. My prayer each week is that not only will you connect with the Lord here with your mind, but with your heart as well. And if you do that, you really can't remain passive in worship. I would pray that nobody can remain passive in worship. I don't care where you're sitting, whether you're toward the back or toward the front. I don't know, I think I noticed a little phenomenon during the clapping today. I turned around and looked, and it seemed like there was more clapping in the front half of the church than in the back half of the church on the songs. Is that true? I don't know. Maybe it was just my, you know, miscalculation. But I would pray that no matter where you're sitting, that you're not remaining passive in worship, and that that fact of the not remaining passive, the commitment, then would just spill over onto every part of life. That NCCF is involved about your whole life and life experience. If you would join me by reading this prayer together out loud to the Lord. It's found on the back of the little bulletin insert that was prepared. Out of reverence to the Lord, let's do something just a little different for this fellowship. I would invite you all to kneel with me as we pray this prayer together. Let's just kneel together. In unison, speaking to the Lord, O Lord, we will praise you. We will praise you with an instrument of 10 strings. We will praise you with our 2 eyes by looking only to you.
We will exalt you with our two ears by listening only to your voice. We will extol you with our two hands by working in your service. We will honor you with our two feet by walking in the way of your statutes. We will magnify you with our tongues by bearing testimony to your loving kindness. We will worship you with our hearts by loving only you. We thank you for this instrument, Lord. Keep it in tune. Play upon it as you will and ring out the melodies of your grace. May its harmonies always express your glory. Amen.